نوينا التعلم والتعليم ونفع الانتفاع والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم والدعاء للهدى والدلالة على الخير ابتغاء وجه الله تعالى ومرضاته وقرب ثوابه سبحانه وتعالى. So inshallah we're going to continue on in our study of Surah Yasin. May Allah Ta'ala open up the meanings that to our hearts and to our minds and allow us to be able to that fully absorb those meanings and to put them into practice in a way that is pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping in mind all along is that the Quran is the ultimate makhraj, it is the ultimate way out. According to a prophetic hadith that indicates in times of tribulation, in times of strife, in times of difficulty, and all of the other meanings of fitna, the makhraj is the kitab of Allah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it's really about learning how the Quran is a makhraj and what that really means. How that is important for us to view the world from the Quranic worldview, to be able to implement what the Quran encourages us to implement, and all of the other meanings of that bringing the Quran into our lives and living its realities. To the degree that we do that will be to the degree that we experience the Quran as that makhraj, as that way out. And we have reached verse number 18. Which states, قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيِّرْنَا بِكُمْ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتُهُونَ لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَا يَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They, the people of the city, said, we augur ill of you. If you desist not, we shall surely stone you, and a painful punishment will befall you from us. So that if we remind ourselves where we are, verse 13, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابِ الْغَرِيْتِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. When Allah says, and set forth for them as a parable the people of the town when the message bearers came unto it. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُم مُرْسَلُونَ. When we sent to them two, they denied them, so we reinforced them with a third, and they said, verily we have been sent to you. And then they said, you are but human beings like us. The All-Merciful has not sent down anything, that He has not revealed anything. You are simply lying. Then they answered, our Lord knows that we have indeed been sent unto you. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. And our duty is only to convey the message clearly. And then this is the verse that comes after it. They, the people of the city, said, we augur ill of you. If you desist not, if you don't stop what you're doing, we shall surely stone you and a painful punishment will befall you from us. So let's look a little bit more closely at this verse. So قالوا, this the people of the city, there's a conversation now taking place. And keep in mind is that these apostles or these messengers were sent to the people of the city and to call them to Tawheed and to call them to that proper conduct. And then everything that happened after that, from their denial of them and everything that they did, from that denying them and that lying to them and accusing them, and then the response of the messengers and how they emphasized that they had been sent to them and that their Lord knows best, and then reminding them as well is that and our duty is only to convey the message clearly. Now the conversation shifts to the people of the city where they're going to do something different now. So keep in mind, we already said is that they first and foremost that there was denial, which is that them putting into question that a human being could actually bring revelation. And then the lie that Allah Ta'ala had not sent down anything. And then the accusation is that they were liars. And so then when they responded to those claims and everything that was said, then they start doing something different now. And that this is very telling about the psychology of disbelief. And again, you see these same archetypes manifesting throughout history and even to this day and age. So now what do? That they resort to a pretext. They resort to a pretext to turn the message bearers away. And the idea of a pretext is to find some justification and to give a reason for what they want to do, which is to really rid themselves of them, and that even if it's not the real reason is they don't want to hear it. They don't want to be reminded. The real reason is that they want to remain as they are. And the pretext is that now they're find something wrong with him so that they can demonize him, so that they can character assassinate them, and so that they can justify to their people that the fact that they need to rid themselves of them. So what do they say? That inna tatayyanna bikum. That indeed that we augur ill of you. We augur ill of you. And that another way of translating this is that we think you are an evil omen. And so here, tatayyur is to take an omen, but in this case an evil omen. So they augured ill of them. They took an evil omen from them. And the idea of auguring ill is this idea of that seeing something as a sign or a warning that is something likely to happen. And the commentators say is that the main reason that they augured ill of them and took a bad omen from them was because they came with a religion other than theirs. Other commentators say, with other opinions state, that some of those that denied were afflicted with leprosy when they disbelieved. Others say is that they suffered from a famine. And so they saw this as an evil omen for these people that had come. But the key here is that they're starting to point the fingers at them, that there's something wrong with them. And so let's look at this word a little bit more closely. That taking an evil omen, that at-tatayyur, in Arabic it's also known as at-tasha'um. In relation to its root, it's actually very similar to the English root. Because that an augur was actually a religious official in the Roman Empire who would observe natural signs, especially the behavior of birds, interpreting these as an indication of divine approval or disapproval of a proposed action. That's where the word actually gets its name in Arabic as well. At-tatayyur comes from the word tayyur, which is a bird. And in the pre-Islamic Arabia, what they used to do when they needed to make a decision is that there would be a certain person that would move towards birds and then see which way that they flew. If they flew to the right, it was a sign that this is a good sign, and they took a good omen, this is something we do. If they flew to the left, that they would consider that to be a bad sign, and that they would refrain from doing it. And so that thus it has become to be known as at-tatayyur, but that we translate this as taking a bad omen. Now it is important to note that our Prophet ﷺ is that he prohibited us from taking bad omens. And he says in a hadith, لا عدوى ولا طيرة. That adwa is the idea that diseases or illnesses can be contagious. And that what is really meant by this hadith is that we have to be very careful in relation to the power of Allah. Is that, yes, some diseases are contagious, but we believe in the power of Allah. It can only happen by the will of Allah. It can only happen by the will of Allah. And that there was that scenario that took place with Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab when he was caliph, and that there was a plague in a particular place, and that Sayyidina Umar did not go into that particular place. And that they then said to him, that are you that fleeing from the qadr of Allah? And then they brought forth one of the companions who mentioned to him a hadith, right, that about there being a plague and that you shouldn't go to where there is a plague and people that are there shouldn't leave. Mm-hmm. And Sayyidina Umar then said, is that we're fleeing from the Qadr of Allah to the Qadr of Allah. Mm-hmm. Meaning there's no way to flee from the Qadr of Allah Ta'ala. And that the idea of that diseases being contagious and so forth, that means is that we have to be very careful in that falling into the idea that it's happening in and of itself. from the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He can do whatever He wants to do. And people that are involved in medicine have to be careful to say that there's no cure for this. Right? This person is definitely going to die. If they don't do this, this is going to happen to them. No, that's not the way we deal with the asbab. Allah is called ala kulli shay. Outwardly, you could look at statistics and analytics that indicate that this percentage of people die and so forth and so on, but you have to be careful when it comes to tawheed. And we will present it in a slightly different way. And that this is what we suggest. And the people of Allah are very careful with their language. Very careful with their language. And so, that sometimes they say that they want to go somewhere, instead of saying that I am going to such and such a place. Even if they say inshallah, they might prefer to say the plan is to go to such and such a place. Why? Because that they don't know if they're actually going to be going to that place or not. They're very careful with their language. One of the righteous, for instance, when something was said about something that happened in a particular place, and then people are talking about this incident, but you don't know whether it is hearsay or not, then when someone asked him about, oh, what about this? What he would say is, they say that such and such a thing is happening, instead of saying such and such a thing is happening. Why? Because if you say such and such a thing is happening, it's really not, you have now taken part in something that is not a truth. But if you just save yourself that, oh, other people are saying that this is happening, is it you're just relating now what other people are saying? The righteous want to be careful in the frame and how they frame things and what it is that they say. So then the Prophet said, وَلَا طِيَرَ, that he's negating that the taking of bad omens. And what is really meant by that is that there's nothing that intrinsically has qualities from people or things or events that we can say that's always going to be a bad omen. We don't take bad omens. And there are people that believe intrinsically there's something in that person or there's something that's in that particular thing. Like a black cat or walking under a ladder or opening up an umbrella that inside and these very superstitious type things. We don't believe in any of that. And however, that this doesn't mean that we don't protect ourselves. This doesn't mean that we don't take the means to ward off harm from ourselves, to that ward off evil from ourselves. So of course that you know that anything that could potentially harm you, you protect yourself from it. Okay, so we put everything in its proper place. And so that this is what they are saying. This is the pretext for what it is that they want to do to them if they actually don't leave, which is, we shall surely stone you, and a painful punishment will befall you from us. Why? Because we that feel that you are a bad omen, you are an evil omen. And so, that then, that this is also, it's important to point out, that this is the way that oftentimes that people of disbelief act. And that there is another verse in Surah Al-A'raf in relation to the people of the Pharaoh, where Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتُمَ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ وَإِنْ تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَطَّيِّرُ بِمُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, which translates as, but whenever good came to them, they would say, this is ours. And if an evil befell them, they would consider it an ill omen on account of Moses and those who were with him. Nay, their ill omen lies with Allah, though most of them know not. Also the people of Salih, قَالُوا طَيِّرْنَا بِكَ وَبِمَنْ مَعْكَ قَالَ طَائِرُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, they said, we see you and your followers as an evil omen. He replied, God will decide on any omen you may see. You people are being put to the test. And so this is the pretext for what it is that they want to do, and this is the nature of people of ignorance, is that when it relates to something that they don't want, they try to speak ill of that particular thing. And that when it's something that they like, that they'll speak that well of it. And that this is a real problem. And we should always be very careful that when we're involved in any type of group effort, if we don't get our particular way, we have to be careful to that distinguish between simply saying what I wanted didn't happen, in between finding fault with a person or persons or the decision-making committee or whoever's involved, that somehow there's something wrong with them. Because sometimes there's a tendency to do that. When your opinion is not taken, is that then you're going to find fault with the other people. Whereas part of the adab of shura, the etiquettes of consultation, is if your opinion is taken, you actually make tawbah and istighfar. You repent to Allah and ask His forgiveness. And if your opinion is not taken, you show your gratitude to Allah and say, Alhamdulillah. So whenever people come together, and that everyone should feel that fully comfortable putting forth what it is that they feel is best. No one should deter them from putting forth what they feel is best. Now, people should put forward ideas that are well thought out. We shouldn't just shoot ideas from the hip. And after the ideas come forward and they're considered, then that if an idea is accepted and it's the person whose idea was accepted, that's their etiquette, is actually to seek forgiveness. And when their idea is not accepted, that they actually say Alhamdulillah. And these are the etiquettes that are going to keep people together. And it's very easy to criticize. Very easy to criticize. La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah. And it's only when you start to do your own thing, you start your own company, you start to try to start your own organization, try to do your own thing, that you start to really regret all of your baseless criticisms from the past. And sometimes really nitpicky criticisms. Or even if they were justified, that you not until you're actually going through it yourself do you realize how harmful it is. The vast majority of people just want to take things down. And I remember learning a beautiful lesson where there was one time in the place where I had studied, I'd felt that something could have been bettered. And that when I went to the person who could have actually done something about it, his response was, okay, please formulate your thoughts, write it down on paper, and then present it to me, and I will fully consider it. And then in the moment, I was kind of like, but I just want you to take my idea and mention what I said and do what I said. And then I started to realize, subhanAllah, there was a lot of nafs in my response to that situation. And nafs is never going to bring good. That is the proper way. There's an organization. It's running. It's not as easy as just implementing a solution. It has to be that well thought out to begin with. It has to be considered in light of everything else that is happening. And sometimes things take, it's a process. They take time and so forth and so on. And not that you can always justify everything. People make mistakes, of course. But the point is that having a good opinion and putting things in their proper place and taking the time to that really think things through, but it really gets back to that how do we respond when we don't get what we like. This is really what this is about. And the vast majority of people, when it doesn't go their way, when they don't get something that they want, is that they'll use that as a pretext to that speak ill. They'll use their demonization of that person as a pretext to that rid that person from their life or to move that person out of the organization or whatever it might be. So they said, we see you and your followers as an evil omen. Now, it says, we augur ill of you. We think of you as an evil omen. And then what did they threaten after this? لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَا يَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. If you don't stop what you're doing, if you desist not, we shall surely stone you, and a painful punishment will befall you from us. So now they're resulting to a threat. If you don't do this, this is what we're going to do now. And this is the nature of this same archetypal person. Again, is that they started already with the approach that was previously mentioned. But then when there is persistence from the other end, is that it's going to result ultimately to violence. And that here is that why did they mention stoning? Because that this is that one of the ways that they used to that punish people in pre-modern in previous times, and that this is also an indication that ولَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ is that they wanted to be brutal, and they wanted to be a painful punishment, and that would that again have adab alim, it would be painful and it would really hurt them. So this is what they've resorted to, and then the messengers are going to respond back to what they've said. قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ أَإِن ذُكِّلْتُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. They said, your auguring ill is upon yourselves, though you have been reminded. No, but you are a people who have exceeded the bounds. Alternatively, you could translate this as, the messenger said, yani in response to them, the evil omen is within yourselves. Why do you take it as an evil omen when you are reminded of the truth? You are going too far. So in other words, the response from the messenger bearers to the disbelievers is that they that what they're saying that they're going to do to these people is that really going to befall them as because of their own disbelief. And so that the evil omen is within their own selves. That there are people, the messengers came to them with the best of intentions, they've come to them to call them to only something that is beautiful, to worshiping only one God, and to having sincere worship towards Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were the ones that responded in that particular way. And there is some technical language here that I'm going to just quote verbatim, because it's going to point to a particular point. And that in the most widespread reading of this verse, though you are reminded, is read in the kiltum, meaning, even if you are reminded, in this reading, the ellipsis indicates a rhetorical elation that constitutes the object of the interrogative and serves as a rebuke, as if to say, do you augur ill in disbelief, even when you have been reminded? And so that this idea is that they are taking an evil omen that about these people. But really, is that the evil omen is that in their own selves. Is that it relate? It's upon their own selves. So this is something that we see often. Is that these same people that are doing this or wanting to do this to others, is that what ends up happening is that actually falls back upon them in this reflexive sense. And this is why we see in different places in the Quran, is that the idea of that someone trying to deceive, but they are the ones who are actually only deceiving themselves. Is that someone wants to plot, but in reality they're being plotted against. And this is the nature of this mentality. And this is why we as believers have to be patient. Because people that act like this, time won't pass except that it will come back upon them. And this is a principle that we believe in and we live by. If you want something to be right, you have to have a right intention and you have to have a right way of going about it. The ends do not justify the means. The means have to be justified and the ends have to be justified. You can't say that you want this lofty end and then that you're going to that take whatever means necessary to get to that end. We do not believe in that. The means have to be justified and the ends have to be justified. We have parameters. There are certain things that you can't do. Even if were you to do that thing, you think that it leads to some type of good, you can't do it. And this is the general principle of how we go about bringing about change. We want to have the means be done right and we want to have the ends be done right with a righteous intention all along the way. And that those that choose to live another way, that try to cut corners, or that try to that cheat, or that try to deceive, it will come back to them. It will come back to haunt them even. And people that you maneuver against at the workplace to get to a particular place, is that there will be people then maneuver against you at another point. Anytime that you cheat, that you deceive, all of these types of things that happen, anything that you attain in the world, whether it be money or a position or a job or anything else, as a result of trickery and cunning and deception, is that short time won't pass. Except that the same thing will happen to you, and that will either be taken from you, or is that you will suffer and go through difficulties as a result of what you did. And the reality is that this is a sign for us so that we can that know that what is happening here in this world and rectify our state. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. Is that Allah Ta'ala says, is that fasad, corruption, has appeared on the earth that and in the sea. From what? That the hands have wrought. But what does Allah Ta'ala say at the end of this verse? In hopes that they will return. And Allah Ta'ala tastes them. That some of what they cause them to taste, some of what they've done, in hopes that they return. So when you see negative consequences of things that we've done appear, the hope is that we return. But we should know this, is that we must be people of principle. Nothing that is worthy of us doing, nothing that is a noble thing to actually do, that can be accomplished except through noble and meanwhile means. So this is coming back upon them now. And so that they said, we see you and your followers as an evil omen. They said, that the evil omen is within yourselves. Why do you take it as an evil omen when you are reminded of the truth? You are going too far. And there is that one other thing. Today we're going to have a shorter class that we wanted to bring up in relation to this. It also relates to the same word. It's this word, ta'ir. And Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, وَكُلِّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَهُ طَائِرُهُ فِي عُنُكِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَهُ مَنْشُورًا. We have bound each human being's destiny to his neck. On the day of resurrection, we shall bring out a record for each of them, which they will find spread wide open. And the scholars differ about what this ta'ir is. And that Ibn Abbas's opinion is that it's their amal, it's their deeds, their actions, and everything that was decreed for them that they would do, is that it's constantly with them. And that Mujahid says that it is no person is born except that there is that a waraqa, that something written, that attached to his neck, is that whether that person is a shaqi or sa'id, they're people of paradise or people of perdition. And others say that it's their portion of that khair and shar, of good and of evil. And if you think about this, that it would be more difficult for a person to try to really understand what this is in the pre-modern world, how all of that could be that attached to someone's neck. And that this is one of the ways that we're actually helped by modern technology and understanding how you can have an incredible amount of information on something that is actually really, really small. That a tiny piece of whatever the material actually is, that when you extract the information from it, is that it can contain a massive amount of information. And this is something we believed Allah had the power to do, even without a knowledge of that modern technology. But modern technology makes it easier for us to understand how that could be. Because this is man-made, and that you could have these tiny little things that have such a large amount of information, indicating to us that then what are the possibilities in relation to the qudra and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that this is something that is always going to be with us. Is that based upon the decisions that we make and the good or the evil that will come from the various things that we do. And so when they responded to them that in this way, and they said that the evil omen is within yourselves, at the very end they said, you are going too far. Is that you are a people, but antum qawmun musrifun, is that you are a people that have that gone astray, that you've gone too far, and that you should have been in the opposite state in accepting what these messengers brought. And again, I wanted to quote this last passage. This comes from the Ishara of the Tafsir of Ibn Ajiba, that relates to what it is that we have to go through and how it is that we should that view it. And he says here, أَحَبَّ الْخَلْقِ لَلَّهِ إِنْفَعَهُمْ لِإِيَالِهِ وَأَنْصَحُهُمْ لَهُمْ. The most beloved of Allah's creation to Allah are those that are most beneficial to His dependents and those that give them the most advice. And then in a hadith, لِأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجْلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعَمِ. For Allah Ta'ala to guide one person through you is better for you than red camels, which was the most beloved form of wealth to the Arab. So he says, فَيَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ أَرَادَ الظَّفَرْ بِمَحَبَّةِ الْحَبِيبِ وَيَنَعَلْ مِنْهُ الْحَظْوَ وَالتَّقْرِيبِ أَنْ يَتَّحَمَّلَ الشْمَشَاقِ فِي إِرْشَادِ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَعْمِلَ الْأَسْفَارِ فِي ذَلِكَ. He said, for those that want to, that attain the love of the beloved and to draw near to him and to have that close proximity to him, is that to accustom themselves to bearing difficulties in helping the servants of Allah. Irshad literally means to guide, in guiding the servants of Allah, and that whatever it is that they have to do in order to do that, he mentions specifically here, traveling to go about helping people, لِيَنَالَ عَنْدُهُ الْجَهَلْ كَبِيرُ وَالْقُرْبِ الْعَظِيمُ, so that we can attain a great station that with him and closest to him. This is something that the vast majority of great people that you will find is that a good portion of their life was sent that pointing people towards goodness, guiding people towards what is best, teaching people, advising people, being there for people. And that this is the way these people are, and it's the same way that with minor modifications depending upon where they are geographically speaking. If I think about the teachers that I've had in Mauritania and Yemen primarily, and some of the other places that I visited, even though that they're very different geographically speaking, that culturally they're very different, however, is that it's the same archetype of the great shuyukh. They're doing the same things. They're dedicating their lives to teaching. They're dedicating their lives to helping people and to serving people and to advising people. And they have taken care of their families and they're worshiping and so forth. And so it's the same archetype, which that leads us to that have the understanding is that all we have to do is strive to emulate them, to do our best to do what they did in their particular context, in our particular context. And that, like anything else, when you build an environment, you have to be well aware about the characteristics of that environment so that you can that know what it is that needs to be in place in order for things to thrive and things to grow. But may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and bless us to open up the meanings of these verses to our hearts, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. And may Allah Ta'ala have everything that we do be deeds that be pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala make us firm upon the path and bless us to live and die upon the meanings of La ilaha illa Muhammadur Rasulullah. Place immense blessings in the month of Ramadan for us and for our families and for our loved ones and for our community and for the Ummah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala bless us to be a month of relief for Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad, a month for increase of the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad, and a month whereby which He returns them unto Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadan wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.